This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, shave. Hello, Merlin Mann. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Breakout star Max is going to be here in any minute.
Nice.
In minutes.
I think I blocked Reddit from my Google results. Because I can't find our, I guess we have a Reddit page.
Is it a thing? Let me.
No. First, I just want to say. I searched for Due By Friday. Reddit.com. And it flashes for a second and then disappears. And it's out of the results. I must have blocked it. I do that. I'm a blocker. I can block you by Friday. I encourage everybody who's not me to use this very, very heavily because it's an excellent way to outreach. That's a word I just made up. It's all part of our outreaching project.
We encourage everybody to tweet at Alex Cox.
Yeah. Outreaching. What is it? Is it Reddit? There's probably a slash R. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Look,
there's a little alien that we all know and love.
Oh, it's Johnny Reddit. Okay, Due By Friday. Oh, the typography. Some of these have up to 5 comments. Breakout hit.
As many as 3 people listen to our show. It's very exciting.
Alex, are you a Redditor?
Well, it seems that I have had my Reddit name for over 6 years, but I have very little karma. So I think I just did the thing where I'm like, I want to snipe my name before
it
people
just comes up as sorry something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I'm FannyBoss69 on Reddit.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a good. Oh, it's Max. Oh, Max has so many things.
Oh. Max discovered the Google Doc this weekend. It's a hell of a thing.
Max discovered the Google Doc. You discovered Reddit.
Hey, we're
learning so many things about ourselves and each other.
How do you become a Redditor? Is there like a vetting process? Do you have to go to like an extension class? How do you become a Redditor?
Oh, you need to think that there's an underground sex ring in a pizza parlor. That's kind of how you get on the site. All right, Max has got something for us.
I'm just starting the keynote.
is this a show?
Oh, we can't wait to see what you do with Steve. Let's see.
I don't think the keynotes are good anymore.
No.
I think they're fine. I mean, I think they're the best tech keynotes of any tech company.
Why are they shorter, Max? Why don't they just talk about products? Why can't they be like?
Well, first of all, they all do the new thing where they talk very slowly. Now I am
that's Tim's
very excited. Mm. To tell you
just him
about the Genius Grove. I don't like that they talk slowly. They all do it now. And I think the events are way too long and they go into way too much detail that normal people don't need to know about the product.
Yeah, especially
and there's
the developer
still
conferences for developers. There's so much
it's not a developer conference.
This
one's
was
not
totally
a
different.
Conference.
You just said you're starting. No, this was a very weird keynote.
Oh
it
my
was
God, this
strange.
Was such a weird keynote. Are we talking
so,
about this? Is this happening? Are we doing this?
Well, I would like a 1 minute timer to just share my very popular thoughts
who
and
said
opinions.
This? Where is the thing? Where is this? I was going to open this on the podcast.
Oh, well, it was already.
What's happening?
But I knew what it was because I could smell it from outside the box.
Oh, my
but,
God.
Who sent this?
So we got a lovely gift from, I mean, I guess we can give away their yeah,
first name.
They're the Mama Lee's Popcorn in Elgin. Sent us something to, well, they sent it to Maxwell Spoons.
Which is like close enough, I figured it out. Anyway, oh my God. So I got a package from Elgin Popcorn yesterday. I could clearly smell through the box that it was popcorn. I mean, it's an unmistakable
You're
smell.
You're a super smeller.
This might be the best popcorn I've ever eaten in my life.
What? Wow.
I'm loving Dr. Creator. Great. This stuff is good.
What's
Easy,
Dr.
Good.
Creator? Is he Strange's cousin?
Chicago Mix is called.
Oh. Mm. Oh, create my buddy Creator. Okay, cool.
It says, it says taste the love. Order online. Mama Lee's LEES popcorn. MamaLee'sPopcorn.com.
That sounds nice. I think you're getting cucked. I think somebody came on that corn.
This is very, very good.
Taste well, Max, can you look at the card they sent us there? And they have a variety of, they're like remixing the Chicago mix. It's very interesting.
Shit. Okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Right. What I'm eating is white cheddar, garlic, and caramel. That's the Elgin mix. I got to say, the garlic and caramel sounds disgusting, but it totally works. It totally works. It's very good.
Mm, it sounds delicious. Thanks for turning me on to this. I got a bag of bags of these. This is the Dr. Creator's popcorn. The mix, 1.5 ounce times six.
Isn't that good shit? That's sweet so and savory. Good.
I see what you're saying though. You really want exactly one of each in a bite, or multiples of one.
You know what would help with that? A spoon or a cup that you measure out. See, here is my life hack. You go to Garrett's Popcorn, a Chicago institution. Mm-hmm. You say, I want a Chicago mix, but please separate it into two bags. And so then you can exactly put it into the correct portions into a cup and then shovel it into your mouth. It's great.
Oh, my God. Max, this is insane. This is the first time you've ever opened the Google Doc, and now I have to scroll. What is happening? There's like a whole blueprint for success in here. This is incredible.
Oh, the amount of shit that I have in my doc. That's a tip of the iceberg, my friend.
Mm.
I have layers and layers of preparation.
Big balls of content.
Oh my God. We got to get into it. I have so much to talk about. I did last night. I had my first group project at law school.
Oh.
Is that a key party? What is that?
So,
what's a group project? Oh, you get together and you make some law together.
I mean, what's a group project? You get assigned to work with a bunch of assholes and you have to deal with them and get a grade.
All right.
I'm so excited to talk about this in the after show. I cannot talk about it on the general program. But please, tune into the after show. And boy, am I going to open up on this group.
After show, what's up with that? How would people find the after show? But promote the fucking Patreon!
Sorry, I thought Max was going to do it, but he's got Elgin in his mouth. So you can find this after show at Dubai Friday.
Is it on Reddit, Alex? Is that where
it's not
go?
On Reddit?
Why do I like
no.
to call it a Patreon? My new thing is that I like to call it a town square.
I call it a money biscuit.
Don't
equivocate. Hey, go give us your money. You go to patreon.com/DubaiFriday, and a bunch of people have already done it. And let me go check my Solver. Over 650 people have gone in and a pledge for this program. And so, Here's the deal.
You go sign up. You give us $5, and you get. And after the show, we stick around. We talk shit. I'm going to gossip about my awful group in law school. And now you get to listen in, and we pick the challenge for next week, and you can do the challenge with us. I'm not going to say. I'm going to save it for the after show.
An average pledge.
I'm teasing it, Merlin. That's an industry. That's a pro move, you know, in the industry.
Oh, it's what you call a tease biscuit. We've got our M per P. We're getting about $6.60 per person, which is lower than I'd like, but it's better than nothing. Get in there and give us your money, and then you go and you listen to the. Well, I'm just gonna say thanks. I'm gonna go say like and subscribe. No, we want more fucking money. You go to Patreon. You go to what's it called? A town square, Max. You go to the town square. It's not on Reddit yet. You go to patreon.com/DubaiFriday and you give us your money. And we'll do a little funny post for each one. We got FAQs up there. And then you can join the Powder Nation.
Pay for all of our iPhones.
The thing is not that I like to think. It's not that Steve Jobs made the Patreon. That's not any individual podcast.
No.
It's the ecosystem.
The legacy is the Patreon website. It's not any individual campaign. It's the fact that it exists.
Thank you. You shut it better than I could.
Sorry, I'm getting a little dusty here.
I'm so glad that you guys did not know me when Steve Jobs died. That was a weird time in my life.
Really? Listen, it was more cool. It was more cool to like tech companies then.
That's true.
I was sad.
You know what? Merlin did a lovely little bit at a Apple store.
No.
It made me cry. You're making Tina noises. You know what? I'm going to put in the show.
All right.
I'm going to start giving you guys compliments.
Set a timer for 1 minute. Why? What's that for? I'm talking about the phone. This the Apple event, which happened yesterday. Mm. We're recording this on Wednesday. It was super, super weird. It was one of the fastest keynotes I've ever seen. I don't know what phone to buy. I don't like the gestures. I'm a crazy old person right now. I'm very excited about the watch. Notice, guys, that the watch now alerts you if your heart rate is up and you're not doing a workout. So basically, I will be able to get alerts for my anxiety. But this is the first time in my life that I'm like, I'm not going to like run out and go buy an iPhone. It's very Oh, wow. Do I have, okay, I've got 30 seconds left.
Can we extend the time, Senator?
Well, no, this is me, Merlin. This is me. This is me.
I moved up close to base.
I'm very happy. Yes, I'm very happy they've gone back to glass. The iPhone 4 was my favorite design ever. And for the iPhone 8, they're taking away the battery case. There's no more battery case, and I love the battery case. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
How much time
okay,
we got?
I think.
Move to send the Apple
up.
Topic
time's
to the
up.
Previous question.
Yep, there we go. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Senator. Yay. Good job, buddy. We talked about this on my Back to Work program yesterday. I thought the keynote was fucking weird. I think some of the decisions they're making are very strange, and I think the watch is far and away the most interesting thing they showed.
I totally agree.
I haven't held the Rich Boy phone yet. I'm sure I'll love it and buy it, but I think the watch stuff is very exciting.
Yeah, like, what game is this that we're playing that we're not all going to buy the iPhone X? It's like, can we just, everyone online
is
like,
why does the iPhone 8 exist? Why does the iPhone 8 exist? It's so strange.
Because they didn't want it, because they knew that if they made a more expensive phone, they'd get made fun of. They did it, they're getting made fun of, and they thought, oh, well, we'll hedge and we'll have a cheaper phone available. And this is because, I mean, whatever, I don't want to get into it. It's like they thought they had a media strategy, it's price anchoring, it's designed to say, look, there's still an introductory level iPhone for normal people to buy. It doesn't matter, they're still getting made fun of. And what's it fucking matter? We're all going to buy it. We all know it. Every fucking Apple podcast host is going to have one when it comes out. They're all going to watch, everyone now. They're all doing the take, and the take is, maybe I'll just keep my iPhone 7.
Pretty
no
happy
one's going to keep
my
their
iPhone 4.
No one's going to keep their iPhone 7.
I didn't say that, Merlin.
Everyone is grousing on Twitter, and on come the whatever day that they come out, everyone's going to be like, I couldn't get on. The website crashed.
That's a real problem.
Then they'll thank Max. Yes, you're absolutely right. Oh, by the way, did you notice they raised the prices on the iPads?
I was thinking, you know, what if I don't get the Rich Boy phone? What if I get this nice little
did
iPad?
Did they change the iPads? I didn't watch it yet.
No, they just raised the prices on the normal ones.
Good for me. I bought it at a good time.
Yeah, good.
We can all agree
job.
That at last it's clear that Apple is very dedicated to gaming. And I think that's something we can all be very excited about. That will certainly be something that continues. They continue to show they're putting wood behind the arrow for the gaming industry and the gamers.
I had this fun, my friend Savannah and I played this fun game where we're like, we want Pokemon Go. And we're like, hey, how long until someone corrects us and says it was in the last keynote? 2 minutes. Well, actually.
Can we move on? I don't want to talk about this anymore. Wait, I have one more thing. I think that the general Apple strategy of them raising the prices on everything and, you know, whatever, working on the high-end watches and stuff. I think what you're seeing is Apple's a very smart company. They're very good at marketing. They totally understand who their people are and how to make stuff for them. And what you're seeing is wealth stratification. You know, you have most people in this country don't buy Apple stuff, right? We're in Apple is the smaller market share, and it's wealthy elites. It's a class issue. Mm-hmm. Rich people who can afford to spend tons of disposable income on computers have basically no ceiling, you know, like, let's be honest, like all three of us have basically no ceiling on the amount of money that we'll spend on Apple gear. So Apple is doing the smart, so shut up. There's like 900 people backing our Patreon.
Fair.
People can see how much money we're all making now. So there's basically no ceiling on how much we'll buy, and Apple is smart, and they're like, here's a $1,500 watch.
That's not a thing that happens. Okay, all right.
I'm just saying, that's the way, if you want to step back, big picture, and understand, whoa, why is Apple making an expensive phone? Why are the prices going up on their iPads? It's because we all honor this fiction of like, oh, just regular people are going to wander into an Apple store and buy a MacBook Pro. They're not. Apples are computers for rich people who care about whatever the intersection of technology and liberal arts, and they're not for regular people anymore. Regular people have no purchasing power. They can't buy this stuff. It's not marketed for them. They're excluded from the market, and now Apple is going for the high end. And they've all got us by the balls, and we're going to keep spending more and more money there because that's our life.
So, Powder Nation, you can send your opinions to @AlexCox on Twitter, and I'll just take that. I'll take one for the team.
Guys, I need to issue an apology. I'm sorry. I was yesterday, as you know, I like to go home. I get my iPhone. I like to honk off. I find a video on Twitter, 2 minutes maximum, 2 minutes of length.
Yep.
I like to find a couple of naughty adult videos.
Crank your hog a little bit.
You got to crank that hog.
Especially if it's 9/11. You're so sad. And, you're so sad because you never forget.
Oh, you got to take your mind off it.
You can't forget.
I got to take my mind off it. Yeah. I mean, I consider it my way of saluting the troops. But I made a mistake.
The first responders?
Well, they're the real. I mean, they're the real heroes. Now I'm the first responder of cranking my hog on 9/11. And I made a mistake. I was hacked.
Somebody came in and favored it and left.
And I was watching my normal, you know, incest video, and somehow, whoops, finger slipped, and I liked it. And it was an intern, or I was hacked. It was it was somewhere in there. And I apologize. That's just not the kind of a public
whatever
face.
Happened, we don't know what happened, but whatever happened, it's being dealt with.
What? Staff error.
I had two anxieties on 9/11. One was that I was like, oh shit, people are gonna see that I have favored some off color jokes, but then I'm like, oh wait, no one can top this. But also, Ted Cruz was getting off pretty late at night, and I'm like, fuck, the Apple event is tomorrow, and I want all of the bad Ted Cruz jokes. We're gonna transition too quickly to the Apple jokes, and yeah. I want more Ted Cruz jokes.
It does kind of confirm my suspicion that most political people are tweeting and honking off at the same time. Mm. They're angry tweeting about politics.
I think it's far worse than that, which is that no one wants to admit that they're not really doing Twitter. What they don't want to admit is they got a kid. They got a kid, maybe in Pennsylvania, who they pay in Ethereum, who goes and honks his hog on 9/11 while Ted Cruz is off with eating Heidi's hair, and he's just unwinding. Nobody wants to admit that this is not really me on Twitter. At least Hillary Clinton does that ridiculous thing where she signs her tweets when it's really from her. You know, it's like
let me tell you who it really is on Twitter. It's at Real Donald Trump. It's got the name Real right there.
Is that how you know? That's how you know.
Do you not think? Wait. So, Max, was it not Ted Cruz? Do you not think that Ted Cruz accidentally?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. My theory stands because someone was cranking a hog on Twitter and doing angry tweets. It was someone. Yeah. Maybe it was some intern. But that's fine.
I feel bad whoever has that partner because 2 minutes. Wow. I don't know if maybe if you're in a race, you're playing the biscuit game. I don't know.
I don't want to make it too real. But like, why don't you just say? A specific person who I will not name on our staff did this, and we're firing them because that was the wrong thing for them to do. Why don't you just say that? Why would he like dissemble about this? It's honestly like, what's the strategy? Well,
it's like when Kirk Eichenwald what did he retweeted, like a hentai or something? I don't remember what happened.
It was Josh talking.
No. This was a different one. Well, him too, but it was Kirk Eichenwald, like.
Is that the thing where you dress up in Japanese pantyhose? That's hentai?
Oh, I know. He's a one of these over the top Hillary election dramatists.
Oh.
And he's a hilarious Twitter feed. But he was the guy who someone named Jew Oven, like at Jew Oven, like tweeted like an animated GIF of a strobing light at him, and he has epilepsy.
Oh, wait,
and then
right,
he tweeted back like, this is Kurt's wife, and he has to go to the hospital, and I'm going to sue you. And then he's, like, engaged in some lawsuit with, like, a troll who, like, sent him a blinking gift. But anyway, so he's that kind of guy. But anyway, I know what it was. He put, oh, my God. He posted a screenshot of his browser, and one of the tabs open was just hentai porn, like tentacle porn. And then
Close enough.
And what he said was, what you should say if you accidentally post porn is basically what the political guy did, what was it, the Talking Points memo guy or whatever? Yeah. And he was just like, yeah, I was cranking my hog and I accidentally tweeted it. Sorry. Because that's human and that's what people do. But what he did instead was he said, I was Googling it with my family to show them that it existed and it wound up on my browser.
Here, kids, gather around the tentacles.
It's like the first time you're in high school or college. Let's imagine you try to have the conversation with somebody about your special thing, and you're like, it's funny. Isn't it funny what some people like? It's super weird, right? Is that super weird? Huh?
You guys know when you give a woman money online and she laughs at you?
Mm-hmm.
And you keep giving her money?
Then she pees on the money and sets it on fire? It's great.
Did you see the photo that was going around of that, you know, first of all, RIP, the lady who, with the gay marriage lady, what's her name, who just passed away? Edie.
A gay died? Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's a big deal. Edie Windsor. It's a huge deal. She's the lady behind the lawsuit that led to a lot. She's.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know that happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. God, this is not how you should learn
what
it.
What a day. Oh, man. Well.
But, hey, but new iPhone, though.
Hey.
I'll be happy one day.
It's got a notch. Have you seen the photo of her with President Obama? Because I kind of can't stop looking at it. Because it looks like it looks like Peter Jackson staged it.
Can you send it in our secret communication channel? That Merlin, he's not gonna. Max is not gonna look at the Skype.
I sent it in both. I noticed sent it to all of the places. Okay.
Thank you.
Honestly, I'm not gonna look at it anywhere.
It's just for Alex. It's not for you, Max. Is that a Peter Jackson thing?
I don't know.
Don't you think he looks like he's 12 feet? He looks like Hagrid.
The more I look at it, the more I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this a photo where Obama looks taller than you'd expect?
Not just taller, larger.
He's an incredibly large man.
He's
a very tall man. Yeah, he's very tall. One of the reasons it doesn't look like Obama is very tall. Is he wears long pants, like his suits are cut very long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so that when he sits down in a chair, because he does a lot of seated interviews, they don't ride way up.
Oh, like Johnson's pants.
So I think it has the effect of when you see a full body photo of him, it makes him look shorter. But he's a very tall person. And I think a lot of people have the experience of meeting him and like, holy shit, this is a tall guy.
You should look at this photo, Max. It's really something.
I don't have that technology.
You have your iPad.
My fingers are sticky from the Elgin mix.
You know, if you were using a spoon, we would not have this.
God.
I can't yell at my boss on the show.
It's like living with someone with dementia, and you just have to keep going, that's right. That makes a lot of sense to eat popcorn with a spoon. I love big band music.
My parents weren't too afraid to test me for autism. Nope, everything's fine. Do you watch BoJack Horseman? Was this a BoJack reference?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to tell you to watch the show, but all right.
No, you've already got two animation shows that make you guys cry every week. I'm not up to this. We're going back to Seinfeld.
We're not
going to talk about Rick and Morty.
Oh, the most recent episode.
The single best episode of television I've ever seen.
I know, easily. It's a great time to be alive.
No, it doesn't have the feels. It's a comedy. It's the opposite of a show that has the feels.
No, it has the feels. If Max, if this isn't making you want to die at the end of every episode.
Yeah. You're not giving trigger warnings to poor Matt Howey. You're getting people scared about these programs.
A friend. Well, this was public on Twitter. Was talking about how BoJack Horseman seriously fucked him up, and it will seriously fuck you up. It's a good.
Oh, this sounds great. I got to get on this. I'm gonna quit rewatching season 3 of Seinfeld and get straight onto the BoJack.
I ordered from Caviar. Do you guys have Caviar in San Francisco? I don't want to say where you live. In the city, wherever city, edit that out.
Is it like a Postmates?
What's that?
It's like a Postmates or a DoorDash?
It's more like, it's like Grubhub. So they have their own like delivery network and their own network of restaurants. But it's like fancy Grubhub.
Okay.
So it's like one notch up in fancy Grubhub.
Oh.
I really like Caviar. They have all my favorite restaurants are on there.
Caviar.
But so I got Tommy and I got Indian food. We ordered Indian food from Caviar. I got the Gobi Manchurian, which is a crispy spicy cauliflower dish. And it did not come. So I went on the app and I filed a ticket that was kind of arduous, and I was like, I did not get my Gobi Manchurian, and I want my $4.99 back. And I got a
fancy one, huh?
I don't want to be fucked. Someone's getting fucked here. I did not order the Gobi Manchurian, and did I get the Gobi Manchurian? I did not. Someone's getting fucked. It's not going to be me. So I wrote them a little note in the app, and I got the funniest email back from them. I was like, as soon as I got this, I was like, oh, this is due by Friday material. Begin. Hi, Max. This is Leo from Caviar. Already off to a good start. Hey, Leo. I didn't need a personal, you know, friendship out of this. Just give me my $4.99 back. Thank you for connecting with us about this. You're welcome. I am so sorry to hear that your order was...
This is escalating. Oh, no.
I am so sorry to hear that your order was missing an item. We take these matters very seriously, and we'll be investigating what happened during your delivery. Let me help you out. And then they go through all of the different remediations that they've refunded my $4.99, and there's like a series of records and transactions. Like, you can click here to verify that we've refunded your $4.99. And then, thank you again for reaching out. If there's anything else I can help you with, please do not hesitate to let me know. Sincerely, Leo. Oh. I do not like how guilty I feel for saying that. I feel like I initiated some sort of like, someone's going to get punished at Caviar.
Someone's
going to get put in the stocks and they're going to throw tomatoes at them.
I agree. It sounds to me like maybe they got Leo's family. Right, and if everything's not up to snuff, there's going to be some problems.
It sounds very much like that to me. I think that it there's a pleading tone to the email of like, please forgive us. Please give us another chance. I'm so sorry. Please, don't blame my family. Please, this was my fault. It was my fault. I take responsibility.
She's just a little girl.
Not the children.
Not the children.
Please, my wife. She's very sick.
I've done this with Postmates, and oh god, this is terrible. I did not want my $4 back. I believe I had ordered McDonald's, and they did not include the fries. And they were like, "Oh, I'm my
fries. Oh, you gotta have your fries,
Marlin." Like, and
no,
and,
I know, but I feel exactly the same. I feel exactly the same way. I feel like such a turd when I'm like, "Meh, you didn't give me my cucumber sauce."
It doesn't matter. If you open up the bag and you were expecting French fries and there's no French fries, that's crushing. Mm-hmm. That is almost the most disappointment that I can feel.
And you know what? And when you are ordering you're ordering McDonald's from Postmates at 1 a.m. Clearly, you're already in a state of desperation.
You're hanging by a thread.
Yeah, and so I emailed them, and I got a very nice prompt response. We'll refund you immediately. I'm like, no, I want my fries.
Yes.
So about an hour later, the exact same. I did not think they would send the same Postmate back.
No,
to
they like, punish
the
them.
Same person. I came to the door, and at this point, I had had some substances, and it was around 4 a.m. at this point, and the look of fury on this Postmate's face, and I now will never ever do that again. I'm very sorry if you. I've never felt so bad. I thought they would just send another person, and they would be compensated like normal. No, they got punished.
I'm
oh
so no.
Sorry. Yeah, they, and then I couldn't tip
what
them
they
a
say?
Second
What did they
time.
Say? What did they say? Here's your fries.
Yes, literally, here's your fries. Have a good night. Turn and left. I'd feel better if they pissed on my fries, honestly. I feel less
guilty. Nice. Let's charge extra for that. I'm looking at an exchange with Instacart from a few years ago when they didn't deliver, but it was like, you know, it was supposed to be delivered in the afternoon. That got delayed to the evening. It didn't come. It arrived the next morning, and it was just sitting on the front step, and the milk was 60 degrees.
Oh.
Yeah. And so basically they had instructed the person doing the delivery the previous day, since there was some problem with the fulfillment system, they told them to go home and put our groceries in their own home refrigerator.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It's another case of these people. It's like serfdom, right? It's like, there's a servant class, and there's a class that enables the servant class. Did you guys see the bodega thing? That thing is so fucking cool. It's like a high tech.
I haven't heard
like
much about that this morning. What
cabinet of that? Chips, and it's a tech startup.
But it's not a logistics firm, as that lady said in her tweet storm. That's the problem. It's not a logistics operation. You start with logistics, and then you figure out what you're going to do with it. You got to build it's a mini bar. It's a mini bar for your apartment building, basically.
Did you live in a dorm?
Yes.
Merlin?
Yes.
Were there vending machines in the dorm?
No, they were in
the vending machines on campus?
Yes, in the student center, yes.
Okay. I lived in a campus that was riddled with vending machines, and we had a very adversarial relationship with vending machines. The way that this thing works is they propose that basically the college will pay to provide it as an amenity to the students, and it's like a cabinet. Anyone can just walk up, open it, take what you want, walk away, and it uses like a combination of like cameras and apps and shit to charge you for things. I have a couple of questions about how this works. What happens if I don't download the app? What if I just walk up to it, open it, take some chips, and walk away?
There's no like QR code bullshit?
That's not what they showed in the video. The other thing is, like, when I was in college, we would get coat hangers and twist them into little hooks, and we'd go in with a team of four people, and we'd open up the little slot in the vending machine, and we'd get the hook up there, and we'd fish chips out because we were high and we wanted free chips. God. And we paid a lot of money to go to the school, and
that's
figured
how I lost my hand.
And we figured someone's paying for these chips, and it's probably the school, and they've got a lot more money than us, so it's fine. It's morally fine.
If there's anything I've learned from Griffin McElroy, it is that shoplifting is a victimless crime. If you don't get caught, it's not illegal.
Why wouldn't you just steal food from the dining hall like a normal red-blooded American man?
Because it's the thrill. Well, first of all, we did steal lots of things from the dining hall. In fact, we stole so much silverware that from the dining hall that they had to put up a sign saying, please don't steal the silverware. And then we stole the sign saying, please don't steal the silverware. And we put it on the and we put it on the back of the door of our dorm room and framed it with stolen silverware, like tacked up on the door. Oh, and someone tipped off at some point. They tipped off some fucking Vichy narc piece of shit, tipped off the school that we had done that. And they sent a security guard who came lumbering into our dorm room to look for it. But he did the thing out of like a Buster Keaton movie where he swung the door open and then the sign went against the wall and then he looked all over the place but he didn't see the sign, so we got away with it.
Oh my god.
You're like the Ed Gein of cafeteria theft. You're like making ramps out of bones and shit. Okay, right here, this table that I have used as a desk since, I'm going to say 1988. It's totally stolen from the cafeteria at my college.
Oh my god!
It says Hamilton Center on the other side.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
Totally run out. It's a victimless crime. It's just a table.
Someone's getting fucked, and it's probably the school, and they have a lot of money to buy tables.
I paid up to $3,000 a year in tuition for my state college, so I think I've earned a table. We got to talk about TIFF.
Oh, we screwed it up. It was supposed to be the opening. All right, imagine it's right at the beginning of the podcast. Hey, guys, what do you think TIFF?
Guys,
what do you? Isn't this a good joke? What do you guys think TIFF Armin is eating right now? Probably a healthy bowl, like a grain bowl.
I don't think she's having a Sammy.
Could be a Sammy.
You got anything, Alex? What do you think she's? Do you think she's having a Sammy?
I think she's making some cookies.
Oh God, those cookies! All the baked goods. Like, I would feel dirty eating them. I'd feel like I was, like, eating a piece of artwork or
something. Especially
if
you got them out of the house when they weren't there. I think she's having a hothouse pheasant breasticle and kale-infused banana pepper rapini with heirloom avocado aioli on flash-broasted focaccia roundlings sliced diagonally.
Where did that come from? That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to try and bring one every week. It's my speculation on what is TIFF eating right now.
That's so good. Do you have any idea how much time we spend in the Cards writers' room trying to write food descriptions like that?
Hire me, bitch.
That's a good one.
Blue Apron.
We spent almost an entire day one day trying to write an item that you would order at Chili's, and then eventually we gave up, and we couldn't quite nail it. So we went on the Chili's website, and the hero image on their website was something called the Quesadilla Explosion Salad. And we were like, I want to die. Like, we'll never do better than this. It's like trying to write jokes about the Trump administration.
I'm going to munch on the Chili's website. What do they got here? Let's see. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, their top banner is some kind of meat with melty cheese butter on it. Oh, God almighty. Let's see what their specials are right now. You can get chicken crispers. Fajitas and enchiladas, ribs and steaks. Oh, smokehouse combo. That looks tasty.
That's good, Merlin. Just do that for 9 more years and Arby's will tweet about you. Follow up, The Daily Beast, Charlottesville, Virginia. You guys remember Chris Cantwell, the crying Nazi? Give me the milk! And then later he was like, he had to turn himself into the police and he cried like a little bitch.
Yes.
Okay. The bald guy from the Vice documentary, the bald guy.
Yeah.
All right. Daily Beast, Charlottesville, Virginia. Chris Cantwell's lawyer says his client's comments disparaging blacks and Jews is just a comedic act of a, quote, shock jock, comparing him to the Jewish comedian Jackie Mason. The claim was made during... This is a long story, but it's every paragraph is great. I could not cut. The claim was made during a four-hour bail hearing for Cantwell on Thursday night. Cantwell faces three felony charges stemming from an incident at the University of Virginia on August 11th in which he pepper-sprayed at least two people during a torchlight procession of hundreds of white supremacists who chanted Nazi slogans. As we know, the conflict was captured on camera and broadcast in a now-famous Vice documentary. Are you guys sitting down?
Yeah.
Yes.
Brace yourselves. Brace for impact. Cantwell's attorney is Elmer Woodard, who appeared in court wearing an early 1800s style red waistcoat with gold buttons, bow tie, white mutton chop whiskers, black Velcro shoes, and a 1910s style boater hat, straw boater hat. Cantwell said Woodard was his fourth choice for legal counsel after three other lawyers declined to take his place. Woodard previously attempted to defend a client accused of sexual assault by a 15-year-old girl by claiming that the man sleepwalking caused him to rape her. Albemarle County Commonwealth's attorney Robert Trackey asked Judge Cheryl Higgins to allow him to introduce as evidence videos of Cantwell making violent statements, including some of his closing words in the Vice documentary. Quote, I think Heather Heyer's death was more than justified. I think that a lot more people are going to die before we're done here, frankly. Woodard objected, claiming that the videos of his own client speaking were hearsay evidence. Quote, how is it hearsay when it's your client's own words? Higgins replied, overruling Woodard's objection.
Oh, God.
Woodard then offered what he said was a quote by comedian Jackie Mason, saying that, quote, take my wife, please, was obviously not intended as a literal desire to kill or abandon a woman.
Also, it's Henny Youngman.
Yeah, okay. The quote is actually from Henny Youngman. He compared Cantwell's hate-filled monologues against Jews, blacks, Muslims, and other minorities on his podcasts to Mason. Woodard said it was all, quote, a shock jock act. But when Tracy asked Cantwell to describe what he does for a living, he answered, quote, I do a racist podcast.
Ladies. In our super secret private text channel, I have sent you a few more images of counsel in various garb.
He shows up to, I mean, I Googled this too immediately, but he shows up to, the one of him leaving the courtroom with the boater hat.
That's,
I mean,
very
he looks like
for him.
He looks like a fucking cartoon.
He's like a steampunk guy. Looks like
he's like one of these like Tea Party Revolutionary War reenactors who, like, you know, we talked about this before, where, like, with the Alex Jones stuff, where they like sent us a copy of the Constitution and they were like, wave this at the police and say that you're a sovereign citizen. He's one of those dudes.
You're talking look about at his the
little,
citizens.
Look at his little spectacles. Look at his little tricorn hat and his round little spectacles.
Max, did you see his office?
Oh, here we go. Clicking. No. That's not really his office. Come on, this is Better Call. This is out of Better Call Saul.
That's his office. It looks like it used to be part of a gas station, and then the gas station left. It's got a handicap space.
Oh my God!
It's got an accessibility ramp. Look at his name.
Give me
his
the milk.
She literally hung a shingle.
We've got to put this in show notes. Listen, if you're listening to the show, I don't care if you're driving, open the phone up, go on the podcast app and look at the picture of this guy. It's so fucking funny. It's the funniest thing of all time.
Oh.
I'm just kind of in shock. What? I mean, well, handicap accessible spot, and that seems to be a wheelchair ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's got a little scoot-scoot that he gets up. He needs to get up on there. He does seem like a large man.
Do we have to talk about the Fatberg?
No.
I'm already bored by it by how many
because of
how many people sent it to us.
Yeah,
like I don't want to indulge. I'm not your monkey.
No.
All right, here. All right, hey. Oh, did you guys hear? There was a big Fatberg news.
What's the deal,
Merlin? You want to read the? This is going to be
poop.
Classic two by Friday shenanigans. Merlin, do you want to read the Fatberg story?
Yeah, this is Fatberg. There's another one.
I would love
it's
to
big.
Hear this. I can't believe no one sent this to us.
I know. Wow.
They said no one was supposed to be. it's another Fatberg. Hey. Yeah, that's my legacy. This is what I'm going to be remembered for. Oh, I saw this thing about a giant poo in England, and I thought of you. Thanks, buddy.
It's your one thing. What do you guys want to do? You want to talk? Well, I mean, we have a fucking cornucopia of comedy options here.
So many things. Max, what is you ate an entire pizza by yourself?
I don't know if this is I don't know if this is a whole bit. I just thought it was interesting.
I want to save that for the premium after show. That's really
exciting. I ordered a pizza. I ordered a Lumonati's thin crust pizza for Monk and Eli were supposed to come in for a meeting, and so I ordered a pizza for us. And then they wound up calling in on Google Hangouts, and then I had this whole pizza show up, and so I just ate the whole pizza.
That was a great story. Thank you.
Yes,
do you guys ever eat a whole pizza?
What's the deal with that?
Like, I have Patreon money now, so this is the kind of thing that I could be doing.
You don't
I
have
could
it
just
yet. You don't
I don't
have it yet.
That's true. I mean, I assume it. Please it will. I assume cancel. It will come. I assume it'll come through. But this is the all I'm saying is like, listen, I have the capability of. I mean, for several years now, I've had the capability of ordering a whole pizza for myself. I don't know why I've never tried it. It's like so. It's like incredible. Decadent. It's like
I
naughty.
I did that once in college. I ate a large Domino's pizza by myself while super high once.
It's a great feeling. I mean, it's like it's like one of the I don't know. It's just a thing that never occurred to me that you could do. It was one of those life's little unwritten rules
right.
of like oh, you
it's
can't always, get a pizza unless there's other people.
The funny thing is, it's a lot like being an athlete, where you may not even really be thinking about how you're about to have the best time you've ever had at an event. And it's kind of good that you haven't thought about it, but it isn't until you get to the end, you're like, holy shit, there's one piece left. I can totally do this. It's a lot like being an athlete, if you think about it. You know, like at around 17 miles, you get real tired. And except in my case, I was almost done with the pizza that I ate by myself.
I thought this was going to be a bit, but Max, it's you've never eaten a pizza.
No, it's not a bit. I just never realized you were allowed to do that.
Yeah. Dig Dug, you're a healthy guy now. What was that picture of the green goop you sent us this morning?
Oh, I eat a green smoothie every morning now. It's my new character, Healthy Max.
Do you Juicero box for that or
no? The Juicero, they went out of business, so I have these two Juiceros. Listen, hit me up on eBay if you want to buy my Juiceros. You can't get the pulp packs anymore.
You gotta squeeze your
own bags. They're worthless. No, you can't get them. There's no more pulp.
You squeeze all you want. There's no bags.
There's no bags. That's my point.
Can you make your own, like with your sous vide?
That is not part of the Juicero promise.
It's not part of the text.
The Juicero guarantee is that you do not have to pulp your own, make your own pulp packs, that they send them to you.
Man.
No, I don't know. What do? I have, so here's my new thing. I joined, as you know, I was seeing I had my personal trainer, Todd, and he moved, and then I stopped going to the gym for 1 year. Didn't we talk about this?
I didn't know his name was Todd.
Yeah, my personal trainer, Todd. And he moved, and then I just didn't go to the gym for about 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And
was Todd on the payroll that whole time?
No. He moved. He left. And then I was, it was one of those things of like, I'm going to put in OmniFocus under the project personal life, find a new personal trainer. And then, you know, he comes up for a review every week and you're like, yeah, I can wait another week. And then anyway, 52 weeks later, I was like, I should probably exercise once or twice. And so they opened up that new, well, it'd be wrong to call it a gym. It's a health club. The one on Damon, the crazy fucking... It's like a palatial. It's like a cruise ship with treadmills in it. Wow. It's like a palatial estate of exercise.
No, I go to the poor man's gym, X-Sport, which is basically just treadmills and a bunch of free weights.
What do you do? The one on
Logan?
You
can go to any of them.
Oh, once you're in the
X-Sport.
Network.
Exactly. Mm. The one by Target. Because then
yeah, on Logan.
Yeah, I can buy snacks.
You know what I don't like about that gym is there's always a big burly man outside twirling a sign around.
Oh. I've accepted that I will always be uncomfortable and it'll always be weird.
I thought about joining that gym because it used to be one of the closest gyms to my house, and I drove by it a few times, and it was 100% of the time there's a guy twirling a sign. If the gym's that good, why is there a guy twirling a sign?
Because it's not.
It's not a good gym.
But it's open 24 hours, which is why I do it.
It's not expensive to join this ridiculous health club. It's big, and there's a lot of people, which is a downside. But so I have a... So I'm doing, so I have a personal trainer. I'm going like almost every morning now. I just like wake up, go straight to the gym for a half hour and do exercise. His name's Anthony. My personal trainer, Anthony. And then I come home and I eat a green smoothie.
And then you come home and complain about capitalism.
Mm-hmm. I eat a green smoothie.
Do you talk to Anthony while you're
not
working
really
out?
He's a very terse guy. Todd was very talkative, which I loved, because like it was time.
Really?
It was basically time on the clock that I didn't have to do exercise if I could get him going about like adventure travel or something. But Anthony is very terse. He mostly says things to me like, "Why aren't you doing the thing I just told you to do?"
Pump the brakes, Anthony.
Yeah.
Have you tried to be friendly with him?
Yeah, like, I'm like, so do you, so I was like, do you, I was like, do you like play sports or anything? And he's like, didn't I just tell you to go run?
Tony, calm down.
He told me after our first workout afterwards, he was like, listen, next time bring your own water bottle so we don't waste so much time walking to the water fountain.
Whoa. You should offer to train him at something.
Oh, God.
What would we do? Eat Chicago mixed popcorn and like get high and play PUBG for 6 hours?
Yes.
And then, which is with your Apple Watch buzzing away, like, you should probably stand up.
Shut up. You're not the boss of me, Anthony the watch.
I mean, I just ate a whole pizza. I'm sweating.
I'm working it off.
How does that not count?
A chicken dinner.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I've got my own character, which is in denial healthy, Alex, because I'm not an everyday gym person. I'm a 3 times a week gym person because I should leave my office and or home at some point. But I've accepted that energy drinks are like my cigarettes. Until someone can definitively tell me, yes, you are getting cancer from this, like, It's fine. There's no sugar in here.
That seems just healthy.
It's just chemicals.
Yeah.
It's fine. There's B12. Okay, B12. B3. B6. There's a lot of Bs. B5. Okay. This is fine. Servings per container too, but there's 0 calories, so it's fine. There's no sugars.
No sugar.
It's fine. Niacin, which is also B3. Why did they list it twice? I don't know.
Alex, I feel like this is going to come up in discovery when you like die of renal failure and your family sues me.
Okay, I've never.
Miss Cokes, I just want to really quickly review a couple things.
Your Honor, the podcast cannot possibly be entered into the record. It's my racist podcast. I can't be held accountable for everything I say on the racist podcast. I'm like Jackie Mason. Your Honor, I'm like Jackie Mason.
How do you feel about jewelry? Is that a current belief of yours?
Oh, God.
So I'm 2 days into my healthy lifestyle, and I'm sore and tired.
Good for you. Now, Alex,
and it's like, slightly nauseous from drinking green smoothies.
You guys are always texting me, and I'm always texting you, and I sometimes wonder where you are. So, like, you've been at the gym when you get a text from me, Alex?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh,
yeah.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. I'm. Hmm. Wait, why is that? That seems...
I just assume you're always at a desk.
Most of the time is definitely most of the time it is a challenge to text because there is a large animal trying to get my attention.
She's a little floof.
Yeah, probably the fastest I respond to emails and texts actually is when I'm at the gym, because I'm like, I gotta take a break, it's for my work.
I have been like on stage giving talks or having meetings with elected officials when you guys have started some dumb shit on the text thread about like, is there going to be a LTE in the new Apple Watch, do you think?
I like
500 texts coming in.
I feel the same way. I got to DND you guys all the time because Max ignores everything until it suits him. And then suddenly there's this deluge. I'm like, I'm trying to like pick splinters out of my kid's face or something. And it's like,
oh.
Yeah, because it's 3 a.m. Everyone finally went to sleep, and it's like, time to catch up on the super secret channel.
I finished my pizza.
Yeah.
So look at that. Look at that little precious angel. I sent you a photo. Look at her. And you can see our haunted painting in the background. Look at that.
Oh, is that your boy? Is that the haunted? Oh, that's a haunted lady.
Don't you think that's a haunted girl?
She's
Have I ever sent you the full photo of her? It is super haunted looking.
Oh, God, her eyes.
I know.
They're not symmetrical. Oh, no. Oh,
there's
no.
There's two of them. My sister-in-law has the brother, the painting of the brother.
Oh, you separated them? Are they going to try to get
now,
back
is that
to...
double
oh, this
haunted?
Is bad.
When you
this
do that, so... when you break a bond, when you do that? If you separate the haunted sibling paintings, does that have it or double it?
I mean, I don't know if you've heard of this, the book series Harry Potter, but this could be a Horcrux situation where there's just a painting of like 7 children.
I think there's one Horcrux in this picture, and she has a lion cut. Look at that face. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got another, spent another grand on the cat.
What, didn't you say there was some limit? When didn't you, once you're like, when it hits four figures, we're putting her down?
Well, that was a soft figure. When it hits five figures, I'm putting her down myself. she's just, she's going to go to the farm. No, no, she, so what do we do? Oh, we had to get her an echocardiogram. We had to get our 6-pound cat an echocardiogram. Yep. Now, okay. Oh, I didn't really fully explain this to you, did I? Oh, okay.
No, well, no.
We know she has a we know she has a heart problem. The doctor found a heart problem last year, and so now she's been doing this. Oh, I should play you the video. She goes. My wife is making videos of this going. I'm pretty sure the cat's grinding her teeth. So we're gonna take her to the vet. We're gonna get her ears scooped out, get all the espresso out of her ears, and we're gonna get her teeth looked at. I played the video for the doctor. I'm standing,
oh, that's so gross.
I'm standing.
Oh my god, that's gross.
Playing a video of grinding cat grinding teeth to our vet.
Says, like a mechanic, like it's making this noise.
I'm just gonna find it for you. But yeah, so and they said, yeah, well, here's the thing: your cat has a heart condition, and 9 times out of 10, if we anesthetize her to remove her fourth rotten tooth, you know, 9 times out of 10 she'll be fine, but she does have a heart condition, so we should probably get her an echocardiogram so we know what we're dealing with and if we need to get into long-term medication or surgery. Cat heart surgery. So they did the echocardiogram, they scooped out her espresso, they cleaned off her face vents. Still haven't done anything with the butt, but yeah, that was a grand.
I mean, I've spent quite a lot of money on my cats, but I've also accidentally poisoned them twice.
You know, Merlin, it sounds like, listen, I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like what I'm hearing is, you know, we mentioned earlier, we're looking for some of our listeners to kind of step it up, you know, into the $10 range.
Oh,
and right. I think this is kind of like a stretch goal of like, listen, we got to see some movement or this cat's getting put down. Because what's going to pay for this cat's cardiograms?
I think there's probably at least some portion of our audience that cares whether a cat dies. And I think they should vote with their wallets. If you really want to see this cat live, cross my palm.
All right, Dig Dug, Max is opening a box, and I don't know if it's his
own. Yeah, it's just an Amazon order. I got the kitchen tongs.
Nice. Oh, well, well, well.
I got a new hygrometer. I got a new hygrometer I like a lot.
I don't know what that word means. What is that?
Wait, what are you doing with that hygrometer?
I have 5 hygrometers.
Hold on. What is this? It seems funny. What's happening?
A hygrometer is used to measure and track relative humidity. I got a really, really sweet one.
Wait, but what do you do with it, though?
I see how humid it is in, like, in the last 12 to 36 hours, what the humidity's been over time. And also, if I want to really dry something out and I use my
Now, is there an
packets,
app? Can you connect remotely to it?
No, it's all manual. But also, I'm really into silica packets, which you should not eat, and I use this to dry things out. And so sometimes I'll use that to track the progress. The maddening part is that they're all a little different. And only one of them can be calibrated. And so I'll put them in the bathroom with the dehumidifier. I'll put 4 or 5 of them in there, and they're all slightly different humidities.
Why? To what end, though?
So
well, I'm
so
trying to understand
humid,
this.
You know how humid it is? And it also has got the temperature.
Wait a minute. But why, though? Yeah. Why?
I'll send you a link. It's a good hygrometer.
No, I'm sure it's a good tool, but to what end? Why does it matter what the humidity? Do you have, like...
Oh,
do you
well,
have,
it's like, also the temperature. It's the temperature and also how humid it is. And it tracks it for, like, 12 to 36 hours.
But...
Do you have some sort of...
Why?
Are you battling some sort of mildew or something? Like a fungus?
No, it's nice. It's, you know, it's you get the temperature and the relative humidity, and then it tracks it over time. You can do it in Fahrenheit or Celsius.
But why? I don't...
Well, you put one in every room so you know what the humidity is. You put it in the bathroom with the dehumidifier so you know
how well
it's working.
What do you do with that information?
Well, then you know how humid it is in there. I got 4 or 5 of them.
But what is, do you change your actions based on the humidity?
Well, sure. Good question. You could run the dehumidifier longer.
Is there an ideal humidity? Is your house like a humidor, like you're a cigar and you're going to dry out if you don't have enough humidity?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, I'm an 80th anniversary.
Because once that wrapper goes, it's no good.
Oh, God, I can't even open my humidor. It just makes me too sad because I let it go for a little while. and I got some goodies in there, and I know they're just dust. Oh, I can't even think about it. Oh, yeah, the Accurite. Oh, yes. Here's my boy. Accurite 01083 Pro Accuracy Indoor Temperature and Humidity Monitor.
Wait, why? Why, though?
No, you can see, like, in the example here, it's 62%.
But why? What is it? Does someone in your family have a condition related to the humidity?
Apparently. I don't know why. I'm obsessed with the humidity. I walk up. It was a very humid town. And I arrive. I walk to my, get my daughter. We walk home. We're both like, whoo, it sure is hot. And then I say, and humid.
Wow, this was a big, well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but this is a big breakthrough.
Oh.
I don't want to talk about this because it's, I guarantee you it's going to be, there's no way for us to approach this topic, but Alex wrote backpack nine times on the sheet.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this has no.
This is dugga. You've been on a quest, Alex.
I'm extremely skeptical of this topic.
About just like with my iPhone cases, about every 6 months, I just have a crisis because I know that if I have the best iPhone case and the best backpack, I'll finally be happy. And I won't cry myself to sleep and everything will be fine. The humidity in my apartment will immediately be okay.
I bet you don't even know what the humidity in your apartment is.
No. Well, see, we all right, hold on. I've got, oh God, look at this box. I was going to open it. So I got like about 300 tweets worth of backpack feedback. And then I just bought the
backpack. So let me get this straight. You asked on Twitter, you said, what backpack should I buy?
No, it's even worse. No, Max, it's worse than that. She said, oh, I've been trying so hard to find a backpack for so long and none of them are right. She basically invites, she begs people to argue with her on the internet.
No, because I did not. Okay. The Manal backpack is shit. And it will be returned. But no, I it's just, oh, they're all bad. They're all so bad. Timbuktu used to make amazing backpacks, and I've got I have bought and returned. There was 12 backpacks, but it's been up to 15 backpacks this year, and I just keep.
Do you return them?
Do you actually send them back?
Yeah, of course. I'm not. Can I confess something?
I don't think I've sent a. I've never sent a product back in
I've
my
never
life.
Sent
well,
a
what do you? What do
I
you
give
do
it away
with
to
it?
Someone? I bring it to the office
okay.
and I give it away
well,
to someone.
Well, I mean, but they're bad backpacks. I would not want to wish that upon somebody. Well, in fact, I bought the my partner bought the Synapse 23 or whatever.
Is that
from
Tom Bin? Bin. Hell yeah!
Yeah,
hell
but,
yeah.
And I loved it, but I'm like, this is gigantic, and I didn't know that there was a little tiny baby. Oh. God, this box is the most
Tommy,
Seattle box.
Tommy and I both have the small Tom Bin backpack.
Look at this.
Oh, you got it too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
God.
Is that
we're
the same one I have?
Match. God.
Good colors. Good. What one is that?
Well, this is.
You
I
guys, you
the
guys
smart
have you ever thought
Alec.
You two might be
Holy
haunted twins.
Holy shit.
You might be haunted twins.
I've been told that I'm a test tube baby of Max and my other boss. Holy shit. This is a good. Holy shit. Is this it? Is this the backpack? Is this the one?
And it holds all my shit. It has
really
good compartments.
Is this the Synapse 25? What is it?
Oh my God.
I don't know, it's the
little one. It's the 19. Holy shit.
That's what me and Tommy both have this. It's incredible. I've traveled all over the world with this thing. I love it. I'm happy to show you. I have a very good system worked out of what to do with each pocket.
Do you use the little rings? Stephen Hackett, honestly, was the one who
I do use the rings. I carry a little tactical emergency flashlight in my backpack from everydaycarry.com, and it was like the number one rated tactical flashlight. And sometimes you need it. Sometimes you're in a situation.
This is no. I've seen the thing sometimes, on your backpack. Okay. I'm not putting them in. You need this though for your skateboard. I'm glad.
What do you mean? Oh, that's different. That's a little tail. That's a flashing light. That's like a bike, like a cycling light.
Okay.
No, I have a little flashlight and it goes on one of the hooks. It's inside one of the pockets, but sometimes you need it. Sometimes you're in a hotel room and you like can't figure out how to turn the lights on or like we're backstage and there's not adequate light.
No, it's one of those things. It's one of those things that actually is like whenever you see like, not a grip, but like, you know, a sound guy who's always got like the roll of tape and you got the multi-tool. Like these are things that actually are
useful. Yes, that's me.
That's you. You're that guy.
It comes in surprisingly handy. I use it. And then I have this guy. I have a little, tactical everyday carry leather man. And this one you can take on the airplane. It does not have a knife on it, but it has like,
wow.
Wow.
It has like pliers and other stuff. And nice. It basically has a knife. Like you can use it to open packages and stuff.
You could basically and look,
it's out. It's out right now. I'm using it right now because to open this box. Oh like my. I use this thing every day. It's the perfect little gizmo to have.
This is blowing my mind.
I got a bespoke knife from Amazon. It's a bespoke knife for opening boxes.
This? Don't you? Aren't you? Do you carry a knife in your everyday carry, Merlin? Your EDC? That's what I like to call it.
I should. I have all the knives. I'm a knife guy. I've got a lot of knives.
I'm a box cutter guy.
We should really explore that.
Okay.
So Merlin, is your knife like a box cutter or is it specific? Like the one thing that we have, like that I need at every convention is like 6 box cutters on me at all times. But a lot of times they're sharp and terrible. Like even if I have my Leatherman on me, is this one like a not dangerous version to open? Ooh. God, the inside is green. I can actually find shit in this.
That's such a good idea.
Oh, man. And I want to thank our friend. You know what? I don't know if they want me to put their name in here, but if they released the blog post, it was basically like you're never going to find happiness in your backpack, but buy this one so you will find some peace.
Wait, someone gave this to you as a gift?
No. Although somebody...
All I got was the popcorn.
I'm not telling people not to send me free backpacks. Maybe this one will make me happy. Tom Bin.
Signups 19, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
The smart aleck is not available.
That's no. It's how many of those could fit in my brain bag? How many think you
can
fit in there?
Merlin, I am all scrunched up. Small spaces so often. That's the problem. That was the problem. Why the big boy, the 25 or whatever, was just it was too much.
This thing is great. It fits under the plane seat, no problem.
It's so cute.
There's never been anything that won't fit in my backpack. It's appalling. We bought a new welcome mat. A rolled up welcome mat fit in my backpack. It's monstrous. So go Google Canary corrugated cardboard cutter. The thing that kind of defines it is also the thing that makes it a bummer. It doesn't have a pointed end. It's got 2 serrated edges. So like it's no fun. You can't like pop the little bags with it. You know what I'm saying?
I see what this is actually.
That's very good. That's very good.
Yeah. But if you're just opening or breaking down a bunch of boxes, it's pretty good.
This is actually, this could change the way that we work.
Is this the Dan Chan fluorine coating yellow DC-190F?
DC-190F. Mm-hmm.
Who's Dan Chan?
Dan Chan? Oh, you know what? I don't even have a joke. I don't know. I will find out. Dan Chan. Dan Chan. It looks like it might be from the Japan.
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty. Ooh, look at that.
There's a doctor, Daniel Chan, here in town.
This in the...
It looks like something they would lobotomize hysterical women with in the 40s.
I don't know if it's a BoJack Horseman reference. Oh, God, the season's so good. Man, this is boring. Should we do the show?
Was some way to know that the backpack topic would be a little slow. A little slow for Dubai Friday.
No, this is very exciting.
People love backpacks.
Let me get the energy back up. Here we go. Let's go. Big Trump news. Big Trump news. New York Times. All right. This is about Gary Cohn. So this is Gary Cohn. He's like the last reputable business person left in the Trump administration.
Globalist cuck.
Globalist cuck Gary Cohn. That was what Steve Bannon called him, I guess, in some back channel.
And Breitbart Jews him up by putting his name between 2 globes. That's how they Jew him up in the headlines.
What?
That's crazy.
Oh, you've never seen this? No, whenever they refer to Gary Cohn, you know there's the parentheses thing? They put a globe on either side of his name in headlines.
Well, he's one of the last Jewish people and one of the last reputable business people still in the administration. He's on the National Economic Council. He's one of the only people who hasn't like resigned and or from Trump's like CEO council or whatever. And he was the one guy. He gave a pretty strong statement after Charlottesville, and he's been on the outs with the president. He was sticking around probably because he thought he would be the next Fed chair. And Trump has signaled pretty strongly that he will not, in fact, make Gary Cohn the next Fed chair. So this is a fun story from the New York Times. The new chief of staff has tried to shield Gary D. Cohn, the chairman of the National Economic Council, from Mr. Trump's continuing wrath since the former Goldman Sachs executive went public with his disgust at the president's response to the deadly violence last month in Charlottesville Virginia. Mr. Kelly made a point, one staff member said, of throwing his arm around Mr. Cohn in solidarity in full view of the news media as they exited Marine One last week on the South Lawn. But he has not always been successful. Several aides said that Mr. Trump is freezing out Mr. Cohn by employing a familiar tactic, refusing to make eye contact with Mr. Cohn when the advisor greets him. He's negging him.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also you know, one of the gifts I try to give my daughter is staying away and not trying to be cool, like when she's around her friends. Like, nobody wants the cool dad. And especially because I'm not really the cool dad. And like, that's like the guidance counselor walking you to class. Like, that's not really going to help. You know what I mean?
You know what? That's never happened to me. So no, I don't know. This is...
Well, I imagine Kelly is not the most popular guy around there.
Well, it depends. I mean, I think among the serious people at the White House, Kelly is like the only person who's bringing any sort of like order to the operation.
I imagine he's seen as the last possible thing that could keep this thing from just going tits up.
That is correct. And it's probably why he's clung to power, is because if he leaves, it would be a very bad image for the White House. But he also does a pretty good job of like keeping the crazy people away from Trump. So he has a chief of staff.
Omarosa. Omarosa can't bring him clippings anymore.
That's right. I can't remember her name, but the New York Times calls her Miss Nielsen. Like, they call the New York Times calls me Mr. Temkin, and they call Meatloaf Mr. Loaf. but it says it is Miss Nielsen who sends out the emails announcing internal policy and planning meetings that now contain a clipped addendum, quote, principals only, with a stern warning that any subordinates who wander in will be immediately ejected. She is also responsible for keeping Mr. Kelly's no-fly list of aides he deems unfit to attend serious meetings, the most prominent of whom is Omarosa Manigault, the former Apprentice star with an ill-defined job and a penchant for dropping into meetings where she was not invited.
Wow, what a great sentence.
Throughout the White House, the circle of decision-making is shrinking, leaving staff members accustomed to wandering in and out of meetings and the Oval Office in a sour mood. And the feelings are not confined by the gates of the executive compound. Outside, Trump advisors, accustomed to getting their calls briskly returned, are complaining that their phones have gone silent since Mr. Kelly took over 6 weeks ago. Can you fucking believe he's only been in there for 6 weeks?
No, I can't. I'm wondering if this is the article I'm thinking of. This probably is it, but they described it as... We've heard people saying like how Donald, how the president guy likes to have people around him. He likes the bustle of like lots of activity. He likes people milling in and out of the Oval Office like it's like, you know, the Hufflepuff room or something like that. And supposedly that's just something that people did. There was one description, I think it might have been in that article, where they basically, it was like people with time to kill at lunch would drop by the White House and like come hang out in the Oval Office. Yeah. Yeah, like it was the coach's office or something. People just come
fucking
in and hang
his
out.
Fucking island of misfit toys, all these like fucking freaks and weirdos and goons who are like they've been like exiled from public life, but that Trump is their last little thread, you know. Oh, very very upsetting. And then on Wednesdays he wears a red hat to get everyone's attention, so they give him compliments.
I'm going to hypnotize you with my rings. And then look what they did. Look what 60 Minutes did to that handsome Steve Bannon, making him look like a red-lidded drunk.
Oh my God. Can you explain this whole... I fucking forgot about this.
I couldn't finish the Alex Jones thing. I watched 5 minutes and I couldn't keep watching it. But of course, it was a very, very tight shot. Charlie was much more generously lit and better made up. But Steve Bannon was, I think the medical term, was wearing a metric shit ton of makeup. Like, I had my iPad, my friend of the show, Todd, sent me like an 8K picture of Steve Bannon's face
that I couldn't stop
being obsessed with. I know Steve Bannon's face. I've looked at it up until the day that he left, in which I changed my iPad wallpaper to Bert and Ernie. I shaved off my rally beard. I'm here to tell you, they did everything they could to save that man. They did everything they could. And the fact that they couldn't cover up his barren Harkonnen features in a way that was satisfactory. Bring me another boy and a frog.
There was a lot weird with that interview. Number one, he was wearing two button-down shirts, one over the other. Number two, his neck was...
wearing like a disco shirt over a Ralph Lauren shirt. It was really weird.
And then his neck was throbbing like an alien was about to hatch out of
it. I kind of thought he was going to die halfway through. Like, it just was very concerning.
Hey, Alex, look at the text channel, please.
All right,
make it big.
Make
it big.
No!
Make it big.
I see that you are on Do Not Disturb. Oh, your battery. You know what? Good job. Your battery's at 87%. Military time. Really, I'm just trying to not look at this man's lifeless eyes.
Yeah, it's also 8:47 p.m. on August 18th. Look at the picture. Look at the man.
I can't.
You can read that. You can read that military time.
That's the only way to fly. All other time is ridiculous. You get cocked by that time. Look at the shaving job.
What are you talking about? Like your phone says like 4, and you're like, oh, is it a.m. or p.m.?
I can't believe you live in Central Time and have that kind of thinking. When you live on the West Coast, you learn to treat everybody else, especially the people on the East Coast. People on the East Coast are children. It has never occurred to them that there's any other time zone in the entire world other than East Coast time. You live on the West Coast. I've been here for 18 years, and I have learned...
Wait. What does military time have anything to do with what you're talking about?
First of all, there should be exactly one time in the entire world we should all be using GMT, period. Full stop. There should be one time that you ever refer to. It's ridiculous.
So what are you saying? I should wake up at 14 o'clock?
When you cancel the time that we're recording every week and I deal with your lady, I always have to say, this is the time that I'm talking about, and here's the time that you'll be talking about. And doing things like saying 2047 makes that a lot clearer. Although, we should all be using GMT. That's all we should use. That's all I'm going to say. It's ridiculous that you could have two different times and it's in the same state. It's like pennies. We have to stop this. It's wrong.
All right. We got to do the challenge.
But okay, but this is part of the challenge. Look at his... Now, really zoom in on this picture I sent you.
Steve Bannon's stubble is the most... forget the
Why
sty,
does he have so many open
acne,
wounds on his face?
His...
I don't know. It's medieval. But look at he stopped. I really sweat this. I try really hard not to miss the little nubbins around the lips. And
he left this entire little enchanted grove
on his lower lip.
Yes. No, guys, I've just realized this is not stubble. Those are all blackheads because his little stubble is white. Those
think,
are all
Alex,
that is dirt
Morgellons?
In his pores.
I think he's got Morgellons.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. And they go up into his nose. These are...
He has a couple of stray wizard hairs coming out of his eyebrows, too. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, look at that one by the 4 in 2047. Look at that.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice.
You can't unsee it. Can't unsee it. Digga, 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 digga. Challenge.
Yeah, so Max, would you like to explain the challenge this week?
Yes, this week's challenge was Merlin mentioned on the podcast several weeks ago that when he shaves, he applies olive oil to his face.
Yep.
Inexplicably. And I found that, I don't want to be impolitic, but I found that disgusting. It repulsed me. So when I was in Italy, I got Merlin a very fancy Italian shaving cream from the world's oldest pharmacy. And I've been using this. It's like a pre-shave sort of dairy product. And you apply it to your face, and it softens the hairs, and they come right off when you go to shave. I love this thing. So I sent Merlin an old jar, and the challenge was just shave. Just shave. Do your normal shaving routine. Come in. Talk about it. I'm happy to talk about mine.
I think Alex sort of, I think in a good way, unilaterally expanded it to do things with unwanted hair.
I was not going to put olive oil on. That's what I put in my popcorn. Oh, good Lord. All right, Merlin, how was it?
Oh, what? Shit, dog.
Really?
Well, okay, first, if I may, give me about 25 minutes for a brief history of shaving. I learned a long time ago that the shower is the place to shave. And I know we've talked about this a lot, but there's probably animals out there that still aren't doing this. There are so many benefits to shaving in the shower. I've got a shower mirror. I got hacks for that. But the basics of it is that whatever you decide to use, most people focus on the blade that you use, which is fine. But the truth is almost any blade, believe it or not, even a Bic disposable can be fine if you do the right prep before you shave.
Oh, holy shit. You know what this is? This is people who argue over whether like AeroPress is better than pour over, but they're buying Starbucks
Folgers.
Beans.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's true. All that's the last thing in the chain. You're talking about a 1% marginal gain if you use a good blade versus a bad blade. It's all about the steam. It's all about the steam. The steam is the beans, bitch.
Back my Patreon, bitch. So what I believe in is that there should be some things that you do. In terms of the equipment, I get very hot water in my little rubber mug that I use. I almost always do a fresh Harry's blade because I don't shave more than a couple times a week. The main thing is though, like if I have excessive hair, if I maybe like a half Bannon, I'll trim so I'm not going to go blow through my whole blade. But the main thing is I first do lots of moisture as the bottom layer. It could be water, could be olive oil, could be this stuff you sent. I usually foam up twice. I foam once, then I do my business with cleaning. I clean that off, I foam again. And by that time, there has been moisture in contact with my beardal area for about 10 minutes. And it makes all, you could shave with a fucking number two pencil if you've done that. And people don't know this. They're all obsessed with, oh, did I get the German blade? Fuck you, nobody cares. Make with the water. And that's all I had to say about that. I have very strong opinions about what you sent me, but that was just my setup.
Now, do you, when you put the shaving cream on, do you let it linger for a minute or two?
Let it linger? I apply it against the grain, like this.
Oh, that's a good technology. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need as much as you think.
No, I'm a big waster of shaving cream.
But also, if you're going to do it twice, well, you know, again, we buy the same, right? Don't we buy, what, like Foamy? What's that stuff called? They're the Barbasol?
I love Barbasol.
I think that's what I get. I get the looks like a peppermint. Stripe thing. But yeah, no, that's the thing is like a lot of people think like you can get a nice blade. Maybe this is a straw man. Maybe this people don't believe this, but I suspect that there are a lot of people that shave really quickly every day and it's all about the blade. If you could just remember that you're about to shave and apply something wet to your face, you'll be so much happier.
Do you ever do a hot towel?
I've done a hot towel. I've tried to get a shave from a barber. And they're always like, I don't have time today.
Oh,
like,
shit, dog. That's a challenge.
Yeah. Straight Alex,
I don't know what you're going to do.
I've got a straight shaving
some sort of
story.
Some sort of lady business, I guess. All right. Well, tell me about here was my shaving thing, because I don't really have a lot to add to this. I'm sure I probably heard you talk about the merits of shaving in the shower, and it's a whole game changer, and now I just do that. I don't really have a lot to add except that I use a safety razor, so it's like a double-bladed safety razor. Mm-hmm. Bought it once in college, so, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago. And
you've been using the same thing in a moist shower for...
Every couple months I take it out and sort of... you can either like throw it in some vinegar or just clean it with a Brillo pad
weird,
and just take
Alex,
the...
That's what people do. Do you get like Wilkinson blades? You get those little skinny blades?
So I do Feather, which is like a Japanese brand, and they're on Amazon, and I get about 100 blades for $2.
Wow. That I tried that for a while back when I was kind of a shaving hobbyist, and I feel like I could make a go of it. I have to be honest. I like ordering... not a sponsor of the show. I like Harry's Blades, and I get them in bulk. Like,
don't say the name. They should back the Patreon.
Back my Patreon, bitch.
Patreon, bitch.
Here's the thing. These two guys wanted to... and I will change it almost
they,
every time.
They bought the factory.
Yeah. They bought a German factory.
Listen, once if you go on order, it doesn't... Listen, disregard. There's a whole thing in the shaving boutique... artisanal shaving world about like using like a special safety razor. I don't know any of that nonsense. Just buy literally anything that holds a blade basically and then has like a guard on it so you don't slice your face up like a deli meat.
Safety razor.
I'm telling you, you'll never go back because here's a couple of the reasons. Number one, you can change the blade literally every time you shave and it costs nothing. It costs nothing. They're basically free. That's number one. Number two, even on the third or fourth shave, or if I'm traveling, I'll go a whole week on one blade, better than a Harry's razor. And I don't say that, but Harry's is not bad. Harry's is I've used Harry's. It's a fine disposable razor. It's just the category of single blade, you know, safety razor is just that much better than the category of disposable razors. Disposable razors are a bad product.
This is mostly what you've used for years, correct?
I've had the same razor for 11 years.
I'm going to get the Vikings Blade Chieftain Safety Razor plus five Swedish Platinum Blades.
This is how men used to shave, is you'd get one razor, you'd have it for your entire life.
One thing to be aware of, like people know about this, if you've ever switched to or from like an electric shaver or a motor shaver to a blade or back, there is an adjustment period. You know what I mean? Where it, at first it will seem really, really weird when you do it. And it can take some time for your approach and maybe even your beard to adjust. Alex, we're not talking about your hair. Let's talk about your hair. And then I want to tell you about how much I love this stuff Max sent. But tell me about your habits, because you're kind of obsessed with your hair. You're a Polish lady.
I'm obsessed with getting rid of it all the time in any way. Women shave very differently. You guys got a little portion on your face. Women have the entire legs and other things. And I have always used the Venus family of products, which they have the song, I'm your Venus, I'm your fire.
Fine, and I know that song.
So I've used that terrible thing for 20 years. I don't even know. So I use the Venus Swirl. And the problem with it's like one of those disposable razor things where you pop off the top, but they have, it's a plastic razor, but they have like a little grip that's like it's like squishy, you know, it's like a silicone weird squishy thing.
Like a
dildo? After all women's shaving products look like some sort of feminine sex toy. Mm-hmm. It just gets like gross after a couple months, and then I throw it away and spend another $17, and shaving is terrible. I will say I switched to Barbasol because it's exactly the same thing as Skintimate, the other product that I had used.
It's the same thing. It's like paying a lot for shaving cream is crazy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just go in the aisle and buy the pink stuff, like whatever the pink.
They got a new aluminum rust-proof bottom on there. Not like the old days. Not like this is not your daddy's Barbasol.
Well, and that's the thing. We go through shaving cream much more quickly. You talk about Max's thing, because I tried some various things to up my shaving game. But how did you feel about the fancy oil?
It was really nice. I just sent you a link to the little rubber shaving mug that I use, which I love. God, I have so much stuff. So I just went to my Amazon order history and searched for shaving. I've had Taylor of Old Bond Street Eaton College Shaving Cream 2006. I've had Lavender of that one. I have had Pro Rosso, which is like one of the old school, like go-to, like Italian shaving cream in a tube. This stuff was really nice, Max. I'm kind of scared to use it because it looks costly and it only comes out in a very like thin stream. So I'm trying to use it very conservatively. But I didn't notice that much about it while I was using it. I was like, this smells good. I give some to my daughter. She put some on her face. And I liked the way it smelled. I liked the way it felt. The real difference was afterward. I don't know how it did this, but afterward, I felt like a baby's butt. I was very supple. I've felt a lot of baby's butts, and I'm just here to tell you, that stuff. Do you get that, Max? You know what I'm saying?
Soft as a baby's butt.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, ordinarily, I just feel like a regular face, but afterward, I was very supple.
It's very refreshing. They suggest on the tube that you can actually use it before and after you shave.
Oh.
The oil on your face?
No, it's some sort of dairy product.
It's more like
That's
face butter.
Even worse.
It's like face butter. Yeah, it does. It has the exact consistency of, like, whipped butter. Like
your
the good butter
with food fascinates me, Alex, on so many levels. Why is it so troubling to put food on your face? Why would that bother you so much? You're not going to eat it. You don't eat it off somebody's face.
It's like
what you're into.
You know, all women's pharmaceuticals, like everything in our goddamn bathroom that's Veronica's. It's always like it's got the power of carrots, or like it's like a conditioner. It's like a conditioner with all the conditioning anti-oxidizing property of pomegranates. Like, here's the thing. That can't be that good to put in your hair. People would put fucking pomegranates in their hair, and they don't, because it's not a conditioner.
Ours are all just obsessed with what's not in it. Everything in our bathroom is just covered, because I'll be urinating as I do and reading things while I'm urinating. And there's just so many things about what's not in it. It's just Laurel sulfate free and parabens free. And anyway, you should put some food on your face. That's not such a bad thing. The power.
Have either
of
you ever used any sort of wax to remove hair?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
I don't.
Am I right, ladies?
Oh, God.
Well, I've got my own hot wax station at home.
God. Well, I wanted to.
Now, what do you have? The waxer 2000 or the 3000?
I bought Nair 2008. Oh my god, no! It's not even funny. It's so fucking painful. It's so bad.
Don't you go to a person and they wax you?
No. I was gonna go to a waxing person and I consulted with people, but then I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to buy the Nair family of products because that's what people use. No. So I got these Nair waxing strips. Put them on. They didn't work. What's happening? Is someone? Did Merlin? Oh, Merlin disconnected.
No, I'm here.
Who is calling?
Answer it.
I
take the call.
Answer it. That might be coming from the Dell.
It's not your computer?
Oh, this is not my computer.
Are you getting hacked?
We're getting hacked.
Did she leave the area? Is she still there? What is the deal with her and waxing? Why is this such a thing? Do you have any insight into that?
Do women wax? Like all women wax all the time?
No, but also the wax experience is not a good experience. It's a lot.
I haven't seen
the
Shield. I can't know how women wax.
Ted hung up. Apparently,
who was it? It was Ted.
I don't know. Who's Ted? Very creepy. Mr. Cruz his intern looking for porn on Skype. Some women wax. Some women use lasers. Which I'm very interested in because there's just like no amount of wax or shaving cream in the world to like. I'm a giant Polish Yeti woman, and so I bought these Nair. What?
All over? I mean, is it restricted to certain areas, or do you just have a general fur?
No, all over. I'm a disgusting human being.
Like arm hair. You get arm hair.
Oh God. Well, I get rid of my arm hair, but I used this Nair stuff. You can just buy strips, and they're incredibly expensive. Please back the Patreon. And I was like, all right, this will be interesting. It did absolutely nothing. I ripped it off, and like there was like five hairs that were removed, and now I have various rashes all over my body, and it hurts, and it's terrible, and I hated this challenge.
You gotta go see a person. Go to a person.
I don't. Maybe we'll do follow up. But I will say, so I got one of your nose trimmers thingies, and it immediately made me sneeze for like 3 days straight, and now I think I'm like back to a normal length that I don't sneeze constantly.
So the challenge was to put some sort of dairy product on your face and shave.
God, I'm sure.
And instead of putting a food on your face, you're sneezing and you have a rash.
Yes. Well, all right. This is some great follow up though. There was a little protective thing, and it's like, oh, you can trim your eyebrows too. So I put the little protective thing on it, and I'm like, all right, if I accidentally shave off my eyebrows, this will be funny. So I normally am like a plucking person, but I groomed them fairly nicely. And
it just takes off the long boys.
Yeah. Just gets rid of the crazy. I don't have Bannon eyebrows.
Is this
anymore.
What the little Panasonic thing?
Maybe. I don't know. It was from Walgreens.
Oh man, I want that. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'll forget about eyebrow hairs, and I'll be sitting there watching my programs at night, and I'll kind of just be going like this, and I'll go,
Does your lady point them out? I get that, like, got some craziness.
My daughter points them out. Sometimes I save them. I've had some very long hair. Sometimes I'll save them.
What do you do with them? What do you do with them?
I had a 5-inch long pubic hair I kept in an envelope for a few years.
Jesus Christ, how old? How old were you?
21.
Oh, no.
It was really improbably long. We're not talking about like...
Why? To what end, though? Why?
No! I mean,
from like a Nate Silver standpoint, it wasn't an outlier. It was a truly profound pubic hair.
Oh,
it was like its own little ecosystem. It was like a great Mississippi river. And I had it, in an envelope that said pubic hair on it.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where it is now. I probably lost it in a move. I don't think I could make it again. Not if I tried.
Well, it's not a collection if you just have all of them.
It's not a collection unless you put them out and lovingly display them. You got to have more than one, and you have to. I have a lot of things like that. It might have been longer. It might have been 6 inches, but I mean, it was
longer
than you would expect. Let me see the longest one I can get now.
Back us on Patreon. Goodbye.